go! Welcome to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast with your host, Steve Schaubecker. Get ready to get behind the scenes look into what it really takes to grow a business from scratch in the firearms industry. Join us as we welcome industry titans, Second Amendment enthusiasts, and special guests each week. I welcome you to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.
Welcome back to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Steve Schaubecker, your host, and I'm excited to be here for another great episode. So in this episode, we're going to go back to basics a little bit. I've had a lot of clients asking questions that really are kind of at the core of the principles of retail, if you will. Definitely find that sometimes people get into businesses and they won't have any idea of the core concepts that they really need to know, or at least understand at the most basic level. Now, I'm not saying that things should be done the way they've always been done. Actually, I usually say exactly the opposite. But it definitely helps to understand the core principles behind what you're doing when you're trying to innovate. So in today's episode, we're going to dive into a couple different things. First of all, I'm going to dive into the five core principles of retail. These are just kind of the basics of, hey, this is what retail is all about. These are the most important things. And then we're going to jump into a few strategies that you can use or you can see used to help grow an existing business. Hey, you might not even own a business. That's okay. Everybody should understand these things. And you should also understand it so that you know when someone's doing something right and you can continue to patronize that store. So, okay, first let's dive into the five principles of retail. So, contrary to popular belief, especially by many in the gun industry, you are not the most important person in your business. The most important person is the customer. Without the customer, you don't have a business, you don't have income, you don't make a living, you don't grow, you don't do anything. So they have to be at the center of your business. When you're making decisions, when you're considering how to do things, when you're just looking at everything you do, you need to look at it from the customer's eyes. Your perception, quite simply, just does not matter. You may think something is fine and it looks great, but then you step back and look at it as you're walking into your store or as you're looking at how you do it from your eyes, it may be fine. But when you look at it from the customer's eyes, it may be completely different. And unfortunately, your opinion does not matter. Yep, I'm going to say it again. The customer is the most important person in your business. Second one, when you're thinking about retail, details matter. Like so many things in life, it's the small things that can make the big difference. To get there, you have to understand your customer, and then you have to understand about the little tweaks that you can make to make that their shopping experience that much different, that much better than they're expecting. It doesn't have to be big things. It can be small things, and you'd be amazed at the details that customers notice. Many times they will notice things or point out things that we never saw, sometimes good, sometimes bad, but we learn something in every situation. It's definitely great to be able to have that perspective and some fresh eyes on things. And the key is getting that core, red hot core of customers that will be brutally honest with you. If you change something and it sucks, you want to have those folks in your store that will tell you that. And give you a chance to make the changes before other new people walk in, which may not do the courtesy for you of actually giving you, you know, true and open feedback. So remember, the details matter. Little things matter. You know, the oldest principle probably in retail itself, which I'll go into next, is, you know, just come the four P's. You know, you've got something you're selling. You know, you've got a product. So you have something you're selling. You usually want to niche down and not try to be everything for everybody and sell everything, but you want to niche down into things that matter, like in product. Like let's talk gun shop. So we don't do full sporting goods in our stores. It's mainly guns and accessories. However, we have tactically added some other lines of things that complement we do very well. Like for example, we're really big on concealed carry classes. We do a lot of training. We do a lot of holster work with our students. So what should we have for sale? You got it, a bunch of great holsters. However, that's just one step. So then we want to branch out into belts. We want to branch out into extra magazines, magazine carriers, those sorts of things that people will appreciate, and that they and it's important to have a right one. It's like, for example, if you carry a gun every day, if you carry, you know that you have to be careful about what kind of belt you use. You have to make sure that it's a good sturdy belt, but then some of the newer next level belts actually aren't using a traditional hole system. They're using like a ratcheting system, which allows you to make a fine adjustment, especially if you're doing an IWB holster. It just lets you be a little more comfortable. So backing up, the products matter, and then making sure that you have products that go with the other products matter. Now, you have these products, and maybe they're great products, and maybe they're something everybody wants to buy. But you have to know the area you're in, and you have to know of what price range those customers are looking for. You have to be able to take and niche down and say, okay, well, you know what? I know my customers usually shop in this price range. You know, if you're in an area where you typically sell $500, $600 guns and you have a wall full of $3,000 guns, they're going to sit there for a long time. And at the same concept, if you're in an area that they like their higher-end guns or collector guns, and you have a bunch of $150, $200 guns on the wall, again, they're going to sit there for a long time. So that definitely matters. Your product mix and your price points and those kind of go hand in hand. The other thing you need to do is you have to be in the right place. Now, that can be, an e-commerce thing where you're happen to popping up in their AI, popping up in their feeds or whatever the case is like that. That can be the right place, but the right place could be a physical location. You know, and obviously, of course, the physical location one is a lot harder to change than say, hey, where you're placing some banner ads or something in your advertising. The other important P to know about that goes right hand in hand with products and price is promotion. You know, you need to do something to set yourself apart. It doesn't necessarily have to be dollar for dollar cheaper, but it just has to seem like a better value, or it has to be presented in such a way that it looks more appealing to the customer. And sometimes it can not even be price altogether. Like, could be, hey, if you're selling a bundle, hey, it's the AR-15 bundle, and you've got a case, and you've got some magazines, and you've got a cleaning kit, you've got everything that the person would need that does not have an AR-15, all bundled in one. And they may look at that and say, hey, you know what, this makes it nice and easy for me. I got everything I write here. I know these pieces work together. I'm just going to go ahead and buy this. You know, and it may be the same price as if you bought all the parts separately, but it really doesn't matter at that point, because the customer liked the promotion because of the convenience that it offered. So promotion doesn't always have to be on price. It can also be on convenience, or it could be on other things. Like, for example, we run a promotion for concealed carry classes, say, and you wanted to say, hey, it's the buddy promotion. And say you're typically would say at your lowest price point would say, you might go down to $99 or $89. Well, where your class is regularly $200. Well, for the same money, actually more money than the lowest on the price end, you can actually take and say do a buy one get one or buy one bring a buddy, and then that has a multiple effect. Is not only is it seem like a great value because of the price, it also gets people to try to bring someone with them, making it a more enjoyable experience. Perhaps even becomes more of a group thing where it's not just one buddy. So, okay, well, 2 years are going now, buddies 3 and 4 want to come too. So the promotion doesn't necessarily have to be priced. Oftentimes they're definitely a big, good value in those sorts of things, but bundles and those sorts of things can make just as much of a difference. Next one I want to talk about is just going the extra mile. Making sure that you definitely take care of the customers, especially the ones that take care of you. Not every customer is going to be your customer, and don't be afraid to even fire a customer if you have to. I'm definitely not going on and saying, hey, you know what, the customer's right 100% of the time, because there's not. There are going to be customers that will walk into your store that you don't want. You do not want them as a customer in any way, shape, or form. They've already ejected themselves from the 5 other area shops, and you are the one that's next on the list, and they are just not what you were looking for your ideal customer. We'll get into that a little bit more when we start talking strategies, but every customer is not your customer, and you need to know the difference. But now, that being said, is the ones that are loyal over time, and especially the ones that are great to deal with, and you'll get to know when we talk about something called customer avatar later. But you want to draw those people in and repel the ones you don't. You know, they always say that, you know, just being yourself and being authentic and doing things like you do and treating people right, you will draw people closer like you, and you will also repel people that are not like you. And that's a good thing, because you can't be everything to everybody, and you won't make everybody happy all the time. You just need to figure out where your niche is and do what you do best, and, you know, be true to yourself, but, you know, go the extra mile for the people that that do that for you too. The last and arguably the most important item on here is location. Now, there's a couple things to that. It's like, it's not necessarily that, hey, this is a good location and this is a bad location. It's remember that you have the other four P's that, you know, will definitely be determined by your location. However, the different locations can definitely be very different. Like for us, we have two stores, and the locations could not be more different. So our Illinois store was the first one that we had, and that one is off the beaten path. If you're coming here, you're coming here. You're not driving by and seeing us. Well, up until recently, anyway, we recently invested in a huge sign, and we do have some interstate frontage. But before that, if you came to our shop, you were coming because you knew it was here and you wanted to check it out. Now, the one in our store in Indiana, second store, is about twice the size of the Illinois store, and it has probably five times the selection, just the way it's laid out with the higher ceilings and stuff. We're able to fit much more retail space and in turn much more product. It just works out so much better for the layout of it. But anyway, we can have that because it gets much more traffic. So it's on a busy street. It's on a busy road that goes through, kind of as people come off of the highway coming down from the city and then going into Northwest Indiana for where a lot of folks will live. And we're right nestled in between about four different subdivisions, thousands of homes within just a couple miles of us. And to top it all off, we're in a strip mall type of a building that has six units. Three of them are taken up by a huge Mexican restaurant that is very wildly popular. So especially on like evenings and weekends, we get so much walk-in traffic. People come in, going to go to dinner, and then they will take and bop over because they're waiting for their table or whatnot. And they're just fantastic, fantastically traffic heavy. A lot of people weren't planning on coming shopping for guns that day, but it gets a lot of new people into our shop, and it's marketing we don't have to spend any money on. It's just the fact that they saw our sign. We did invest in a really nice sign on the front of the building, and there's a couple more out that are part of a multi-tenant sign that's way out at the street. So people can definitely see it when they go by, and if they're at all interested in what we have, they take and stop in and check us out, and then we have to take it from there and do our part. So those are the five basics of retail. Those are the five core things that really haven't changed in years. They're just kind of the truths, if you will, or the principles of retail. So now that we have that, so now how can we take that and how can we do things different? So retail marketing, when we're talking about it, the first thing people think of course, are those four P's that I talk about. The thing that people don't also often talk about, though, is and certainly not deeply enough, is customer avatar. So when you have a shop of any kind, so even say it's a off-road supply truck outfitting place like a good friend of mine, Justin, has. So everybody, well, it's a little different because Justin's place is in Texas, and yes, everybody in Texas loves trucks. So he may not be the greatest example, but so there's a market for everybody. So you know, every customer wouldn't be his customer. He has to, not only does somebody want to drive a truck, he needs to find somebody that wants to trick that truck out and jack that truck up and just make it the coolest it can possibly be. That won't be everybody. So knowing where he's located at and knowing where what the customers around him want, I'm sure was very key when he first started that store. Like for us in the firearms industry, we need to know what product mix they like. Okay, like for example, in our Indiana store, we tend to get a larger mix of hunters too. We don't see as much of that in Illinois. I'm not really 100% sure why yet, but it's a fact. If you see like the things we've tried to sell in Illinois versus Indiana, A lot of the bolt action guns, a lot of the shotguns and whatnot will go way better in Indiana than they have in Illinois. We'll see if that trend holds, but that's one thing for us to make note of when we're bringing in stock. And anytime you're in retail, you only have so much square feet in your store. And when you have that, they pull out a term called like dollars per square foot. Basically, with one square foot, how much profit can I make, and how much can I pay towards my bills and staff? So being really conscious of how much space things take up, how often they flip or product churn, and then what their profitability is are all things you should be thinking about, you know, when you're setting up your displays and when you're choosing your product mix. So once you have your mix and then you need to bring in more traffic, there's a lot of different ways you can do that. Of course, you can always do some signage on the front, like if you have big windows or whatnot. You know, you can run ads, you can do some online sales, you can do some digital marketing depending upon your industry, what may or may not be allowed. You know, even if you're in the firearms, some of the training stuff, there's a lot of places you can advertise training that you can't do guns. So the training is a great way to get people to at least know about your store, even if they don't need to take a class. Say, oh, hey, I didn't know there was a gun shop there. Yeah, when you talk about driving traffic, though, the best possible stuff you can get is word of mouth. There's just nothing better than someone recommending you or your services, or talking about on their Facebook how cool your store is, or how nice you are, or how, you know, no one there was as grumpy as they thought it would be. When we start talking about digital and online, one thing that you really need to be conscious of is the amount of people that are actually sitting in front of a computer to look at things these days are pretty slim. A lot of times it'll be on breaks from work, or maybe even during work, or during that boring meeting or whatever. But for the most part, people are using their mobile devices. So it's very important with anything you're going to do, make sure that you are so heavy on that. You know, even if it means like, okay, this looks better on mobile than it does on a computer, that's absolutely how you should go. 85, I've even heard up to 88% of all web traffic now is on mobile devices and tablets. So it's a very, very different experience. So you need to be really conscious of what people are seeing and how they're seeing it on those tablets. And that goes for everything from your websites to even how you send out your marketing emails and whatnot. One thing that you can always do, you know, you can look at, okay, well, what do I need to spend money on as far as, displays, Don't worry about buying new things. The first thing is worry about optimizing what you have. A lot of times you can repurpose displays in a different way and it'll have a big difference. One thing we noticed even like is that as we move things around in the store, for some reason, some things will go better in different areas. We'll have, say, a couple of firearms in one section and you'll move them. And then the next day they'll sell and they had sat there for 60 days before that. Or you'll have something where you notice, okay, these magazines, they weren't selling great when I stuck them by the other magazines, but boy, when I stuck a couple rows over by the AR-15s, now they're magically selling like crazy. Keep in mind, point of purchase, you know, keep those little things that everybody needs, like your cleaning kits and your magazine loaders and all those sorts of things. Keep them real handy by the checkout. So those are all things people are going to need. And if they forget to grab one or didn't realize they exist, they will probably not go back to the aisle and grab one. But boy, if it's sitting right there, they will absolutely grab one and put it in their order. The other thing that people often don't realize is that you have one chance to make a first impression, and sometimes that's not even in your store. So be very conscious of how does my store look from the road? How is my parking lot clean? Is there garbage all over? What does the front of my store look like? Is it in good repair? Do I have things in the windows that look great? And is my signage professionally done? Do my windows displays look good, or does it look like I'm looking in someone's messy closet? You know, everybody's store and everybody's what they're trying to accomplish is always very different. But the thing I would tell you is just be conscious of what it does look like, and don't just look like it from inside. And ask people, even ask family or friends, hey, can you come look at this and give me an honest answer. As far as retail too, there's always things you can go do too, especially in our industry, in the firearms sporting industry, just to try to be a little bit different. You know, making sure that your staff you know, are always dressed neat and professional. You know, whether you want to go like full blown uniform type things, or whether you want to go polos, or like we tend to go lean a little bit more towards, hey, we just want your, if you're wearing a hat, make sure it's a sheepdog one. And if you're wearing a shirt, yeah, you better be wearing a shirt. But make sure that whatever shirt you're wearing is some flavor of sheepdog. It could be one of our t-shirts that have one of our sayings on it, or it could be one of the polos that we give our employees. But just like to make sure that everybody looks good and they can kind of pick our guys out from the crowd. We talked about this in a previous episode, so if you haven't heard this, I highly suggest you go back to listen to it. But don't be afraid to leverage social media. Social and all the platforms too, not just Facebook, not just Instagram, but don't sleep on TikTok. You know, even don't sleep on Snapchat. There's not a lot of folks on a lot of the other ones yet. Facebook's a popular one as far as like, you know, in our industry, leveraging them the best they can for retail. But boy, it's amazing how fast just a few posts can make all the difference and help get things out. Now, given that said, you need to make sure you're aware of the terms and conditions and all those sorts of things, and not go overboard on what you're posting, and be very careful of the how, because boy, once you get on the naughty list, they watch you like a hawk, and it's really, really easy to get further time in jail. I can speak to that personally. So the other thing you really want to think about is, oh, and even Pinterest. You know, this sounds silly, but don't sleep on it. You'll come across some people, you know, go where everybody else isn't. So if everybody in your industry is on Facebook, don't put all your effort into Facebook. Try definitely put some good interest into time and interest into other platforms, learning a little bit, putting out some content. You know, as we all know, video is king right now. Obviously very hard, very expensive, you know, big learning curve, but just do something and try to make sure it's consistent. So now we just talked about like how hard it is to get customers and all the things you need to do to get new ones. So what about if we take a step back and what are some things we can do to leverage our existing customers? How can we make everyone that we have spend more money in our store? How can we make them from a good customer to a great customer, or from a great customer to an extraordinary customer? Here's the thing is phones these days, I think they heard the average consumer checks their phone between 50 and 60 times a day. And when you're talking the highest open rates, text message are like 97, 98, 99% compared to email. If you're good, you get 20 or 25. So definitely say, especially with your existing customers, use SMS, get them to opt in, but make it worth it. Make sure that you do some good promotions. Don't just constantly just say, hey, come buy stuff. Hey, come buy stuff. Provide some value to them and let them know how much you appreciate them, and they will stay subscribed, and they will use those coupons, and then you can clearly see, hey, this is working for me. You know, we talked about video a little bit. Photographs are a close second. You know, you can write a whole bunch of text and people aren't going to stop and read it for the most part, unless you have something really strong in the beginning that interests them, and also have a photo that goes along with what you're saying that gets their attention. You know, these days we're all scroll happy. We're scroll until we see something that piques our interest. Then we'll stop and look. And if it really piques our interest, then maybe we'll read a good amount of it too. And those first few lines better be on point, because someone's not reading more than that if it's not any good. Yeah, we talked about SMS, but still don't sleep on email. Definitely use that, you know, promotions. But here's the thing you want to do with email that you can certainly do it with text too, but email's a little bit more important to do this on. Text, for the most part, people have to be pretty engaged with you to not get upset and give the old stop right away. Email, people will be a little bit more tolerant. They'll delete a little bit more and just not get annoyed as fast. But what you want to do on your email is make it relevant. So you want to segment your stuff out. You don't want everybody to get the same message. You don't talk to the same customer the same way. For example, if Jim just bought a new AR-15 and I'm sending him something about a promotion on a revolver cleaning kit, that's not really going to do any good, is it? Or if it's someone, hey, that just got their concealed carry, just took the class, and then I'm trying to sell them a hunting shotgun and they don't even hunt. So the key is to segment your customers, you know, however you want to do it. I usually say, but hey, kind of by their interests or what they're into. Like, we would have a group that's all of our law enforcement. We would have a group like, it's not really actually a group. I mean, all your emails will still live in your software, but it's more like tags. And people can be in multiple groups or have multiple tags also. So you may have someone that's law enforcement. You may have someone that's, that they're ex-military. You may have someone that's really into building their own guns. You may have someone that's just in it for concealed carry right now. So they're kind of new. You have someone that's crazy about your training. Take all these data points and make note of them and tag your email lists and send them relevant content. Some of them can even be, hey, here's a dry fire drill I like to use. Or, hey, this is something new that came out for an AR-15 accessory or any of those sorts of things. You want to make sure that the message is relevant, because a promotion can be great. And if it's not relevant, if it's not what they're looking for, then it's wrong. You have to give them the right offer on the right product at the right time in the right way. And all those things happen and it just becomes magic and your stuff starts converting like crazy. You always want to provide value. You can't just expect to pester people into buying. It doesn't work that way, especially now. There is just so much information floating around and people just, it's information overload. So you want to make sure that you're giving people the most relevant information you can, the best deals, the best promotions, and wrap it up in the smallest little package that's easy to digest, and it will make all the difference. Here's another thing that you can actually do too, is when you're tracking those data of who shopped with you when and when they bought stuff, and you can say, hey, and again, you have to have a pretty solid POS to be able to do this, but like we can start to say, hey, let's find somebody who's bought something in the last 90 days but hasn't bought something in the last 30. You send them a very, very, very targeted message and say, hey, was it something I said? You know, sometimes you'd be a little funny about it. Sometimes you could say, hey, you could go sappy about it and, you know, put a puppy on there and say, I miss you or miss your face or whatever. Whatever it is, you know, you can definitely think of a lot of different angles depending upon how the personality you guys have as a shop, as a store. And definitely get somebody's attention. And the one thing I found is sometimes the messages that I'm almost afraid to put out there, the ones that I think I'm like, am I going too far? Should I say this? Are the ones that like just kill it. I mean, they just blow it out of the water, do so much better than anything else I could throw out there. And the ones that I refine and I spend, you know, time on and make sure every word is perfect and every comma is in the right place, they get like zero reaction. So I think we're definitely in a place where people love authenticity, and they don't want rehearsed, and they just want, you know, relevant content wrapped up in a way that they can understand and digest in an easy way. You know, one thing you could also think about too, as far as different techniques, is even if it's the gun industry, and I know there's a lot of different rules and regs now, a lot of the, especially Instagram, has not been the most receptive to influencers doing stuff with the gun industry. There's still ways around that. There's if you want to have a further conversation about that, certainly hit me up in my DMs or shoot me an email or whatever, and we could certainly have a conversation. But there's ways around it, but you want to definitely be very, very careful. But it can still be very effective. You can have some great influencers and get some great traffic, and things can really, 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 really go well for you. You know, the last thing I'm going to throw your way that's been very, very successful for us is that don't be afraid to ask for referrals. Whether you want to do a referral program or you simply want to start asking customers, hey, is there anybody that absolutely needs to know we exist? Mr. Awesome Customer, is there anybody that, you know, you don't want to hide how awesome we are from? Do you care about any of your friends and family enough that you want to send them here to us so that we can take care of them like we take care of you? You know, just asking for referrals. And then sometimes even like if it's via email, sometimes it's easier to ask in person and get more of a better response. But via email, it's a coupon. Say, hey, send this coupon code to people. And it's your coupon code. And if you get someone to make a purchase on our website of $100, we'll send you a gift card for $10 or whatever it is you want to do. But reward people for sharing, because your crazy, crazy, awesome customers that are 1,000% in your corner will share it anyway. But the ones that are kind of like, yeah, these guys are good, but I really don't know if I want to put any of my effort forth to help them yet. Hey, throwing those little gift cards and that little bit of appreciation can make all the difference, and really, you know, taking them from good to great to just raving lunatic customers. Hey, I really hope that that stuff was beneficial for you. I hope it really broke down kind of a little of my view on retail and you know, some things you can do to get your customers engaged and happy and keep them, and in the end, help them be better prepared to spread freedom seeds and also to have your company do well. If there's anything we can do for you, please hit us up on our Facebook page, or you certainly check out steveschaubacher.com. You'll see all my contact information there also. Until next week, everybody stay safe out there. We'll talk to you soon. Steve Schaubacher, the Tactical Entrepreneur.
Thank you for listening to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're still listening to this episode, that means you gained some type of value. So if you could share this to a friend, leave a review, and make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.